Turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter number 31. Proverbs chapter number 31 is our initial reading. Proverbs, we'll be looking at that, Lord willing. Tonight, too, we're looking at the book of Proverbs, and we're in chapter 31. We did the first nine verses last Sunday night. Lord willing, we'll pick up with those. We'll start with verse 10 tonight. Also, not only Proverbs 31, but also Genesis chapter number 1. If you'll turn back there, I've got just one verse in Proverbs 31, and then I've got two verses in Genesis 1, and then a verse in Genesis 3. We're going to be dealing with these, if we can, tonight. And so today, I hope this will be a blessing. I was talking about what we're doing tonight. Now I'm getting myself confused on that. Amen. Not too hard to do sometimes, to be honest with you. Got a lot, my mind's going 1,000 different ways this morning. And pray that God would help me with that, to focus and accomplish His will and what needs to be done. Amen. Let's go ahead and we'll read our text. Proverbs chapter 31, verse number 28. It's the verse on our bulletin. It's the verse that I put in there in my notes in the bulletin. It's really what today's about. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. He's talking about giving honor to that virtuous woman. Now, if you'll turn back to Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter number 1. Verse number 27. 27 and 28. Since I read last, you'll pick up with me. Read in verse number 27 and then I'll read verse 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. By the way, notice the pronouns. They're all, today, everybody's all up in there about pronouns. You've got to be careful to use the right pronouns. He didn't make him male and female. He made them male and female. He was made male. But when he's talking about them, there's two of them, so there's a him and a her. And I don't think they were ever confused about that. Right? Matter of fact, I don't think you can get confused about that without supernatural help. I'm talking about demonic help to make you confused about that. Verse number 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Notice that God blessed them and told them to procreate. And that's the idea of mothers that we get from that. Look in chapter number 3 and verse number 20. We'll all read that together responsibly. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Amen and amen. Let's stop reading there. Go to the Lord in prayer. Ask God to bless the reading of His Word. Brother Herford, would you lead us please, brother? Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here. Yes, we are, Lord. Yes, we are. Yes. 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 Yes, it is, Lord. Help us, O Lord. Yes. Amen, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I do remember what else I was meaning to mention. We have revival meeting starting up this Wednesday night. And you see all the decorating. The ladies have come and decorated, prepared, and cleaned and worked. There have been a lot of women put in a lot of time this week to get things ready. We're having the ladies meeting on Saturday at 10 o'clock. So ladies prayer meetings at 9 o'clock. Ladies meeting is at 10. And so if you can come out for that, I know they'd love to have you do that. And that'll be a blessing. But pray for revival every night this week. Wednesday through Saturday night, and then he'll be preaching for us on Sunday as well. But Wednesday through Saturday night, be at 7 o'clock each night. If you can make plans to be with us, Brother Tommy Worth from Scottville Baptist Church in Ashe County, North Carolina, is going to be preaching for us. And his wife, Brooklyn, is going to be teaching the ladies in the ladies' meeting. All right? Now, in the text that I've chosen, I chose these three different places. I didn't read a verse probably not very familiar to you. You already know these verses well. And I alluded to that thing about the correct use of pronouns and being careful about that and tying that to our modern day. Can you believe that the day we're living in, this Bible is just as important and just as up-to-date as anything else could be, even in this day we're living in? It's more accurate than the scientific papers. Right? It's more up-to-date than the newspapers, and I thank God for our Bible. But on Mother's Day, we generally try to think about mothers and don't always. And again, I try to be careful. I love my wife. I want to honor her on Mother's Day. I'm glad she's the mother of all my children. And I said, all my children. Right? I'm thankful that she raised them, taught them. I'm thankful that my mother raised me and taught me. I'm thankful for my mother-in-law and all those things. I'm grateful for mothers, but motherhood's got a bad rap in the latest generation. And we're living in a generation where, as a matter of fact, they wanted to change today. Some people don't call this Mother's Day. They call it Birthing Person's Day. So they don't offend men that may have had babies. I'd be offended if a man did have a baby, wouldn't you? Yeah. I ain't signing up for it, praise God. Amen. But anyway, but it's sad that we've come to that day. What is it? It's insanity. Brother Kirkman calls it the insanity of sin. I believe that is absolutely, definitely right. Amen. But I'm preaching today about the blessing of motherhood. That's my title. The blessing of motherhood. Now, this is not a sermon. It's not a sermon detailing all the blessings of motherhood, because I couldn't do that in one sermon. There's a lot of blessings of motherhood. But I'm really talking about the blessing of being a mother. And I really want to stress the fact that being a mother is not a curse. It's a blessing. Our society has made it appear to be a curse in our world today. It seems to me like that down through history, and I love to study history, but down through history, history has maintained a logical and natural tendency to recognize the wonderful privilege of being a mother. They've recognized that ever since Adam and Eve. When Eve found out she is going to be a mother, she is excited about it. When Adam found out Eve was going to be a mother, he was excited about it. When they had the children, they were excited about it. From the beginning up until just a few decades ago. Just until recent history, that has been changed. Almost every woman in history until recently was excited that they could bear children. Amen. But with the rise of what now has become known as radical feminism in the 20th century, there's been a shift away from the sanity to the insanity, away from the logical to the insane, away from the natural to the unnatural, away from the natural to the perverted. There's been a shift away from all that until now the opinion that children and motherhood are a curse. Amen. Now, this degenerate humanistic philosophy has even infiltrated many religious institutions in the religious world. to the point that many misinterpret the text that I read to you, where that God told them that they was going to have children, and you know about the fact that Adam and Eve sinned, and God came and God cursed the serpent, and he cursed the ground, and he laid the curse on Adam, and he laid the curse on Eve. And some people will say, well, what Eve got cursed with was childbirth. That was not the curse. He had already told her to have children before they ever fail. Before sin ever entered into the world. Sin does not produce, well, sin can produce children, by the way. It can be sinful the way it's done. But the production of children is not what's sinful. It's the unnatural, unholy way that it's done today. Right. That is actually sinful. I know I can chase a lot of rabbits here, and I love Mother's Day, but I get nervous because I know it is against the grain of society, and I'm just going to be honest with you, I feel obligated to face it head on. Right? You can't run with it, and you can't run from it. We have to face it head on. And this whole idea of radical feminism that has swept our country and swept the world today is even entering into our churches, to where the point is that they're saying that these verses here are talking about that this is a curse for her to have children. That is a lie, not from God, but a lie from the devil. The curse was that there would be pain. And perhaps there would have been natural pain to start with, but an excess of pain in the childbirth. Amen. Adam, the curse wasn't that he had to work. God told him to work before the fall ever happened. Work's not a curse. By the way, work's a blessing. Amen. Yes, it is. Thank you. Work is a blessing, but the problem was it was that work got harder and we had to earn our bread by the sweat of our face. That it got more difficult. That was the curse that was placed upon the earth, that it wouldn't bring forth like it had brought forth, and it's going to be even harder in that. But the having children, that it'd be harder to bring forth those children. Children are not a curse. Children are the blessing of the Lord. Now, I'll give you some introduction. I'll get to my thoughts. I've got 8 points, and I'll try not to tarry on them long, to be honest with you. We got a late start already, and then a lot of things going on in it. But let me just give you this. In our initial text there in Proverbs 31, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived according to the Bible, he declared the virtuous woman. He declared what she was, who she was. He says a lot about that. As I said, we'll be talking about that tonight. And he tells that she would find her children rising up and blessing her. They would call her blessed or blessed. Amen. And that her husband also would praise her. Amen. Now I guess I can say this, and you women can say amen if you want to. Won't hurt me too deeply. But most men don't praise their wife like they should. I know I don't. Right? But if we married some of these things out there, we'd say, boy, I wish I was married to the woman I was married to. You've heard the fella walking down through the insane asylum? There's a man in there beating his head against the wall. And he's saying, Susie, 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 why did you do it? And as they leave, they go to the next door. There's a fellow in there beating his head against the wall. Susie, 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 why did you do it? They're both saying the same thing. And so the guy asked the guy, and he says, what's this? He said, well, that first man married a woman named Susie. She ran off and left him. And he said, well, what's this other guy? He said, she's the one she ran off with. Y'all gonna laugh? Amen. Well, sometimes you jump out of the fire into the frying pan, right? Sometimes that's the case that happens. But I'm simply saying, do us good to recognize the blessings that we have and to be thankful for them and to praise our wife and to praise our mothers, honor our mothers a little bit every now and then. Amen. And so the Bible here, again, the Bible is saying that the wise man said that her children will call her blessed and her husband also would praise her. Then in Genesis chapter number 1, we see God linking his blessing to Adam and Eve, linking that with the blessing of children and the parenthood that he's calling a blessing, the reproduction. And then finally we see in chapter 3, Adam blessing his wife with the name Eve and pronouncing that she would be the mother of all living. One of the reasons why mothers deserve to be honored is because mothers, I thought about this week, the word mother, take the letter M off of it and it's other. That's what mothers live for. They live for others. Mothers devote their life to others. And therefore, others ought to be thankful. And they ought to give honor where honor is due. Amen. Now, again, I don't have much time to deal with this, so let me just run quickly, if I can, look at some facts in Genesis 1 and 2 and 3. We'll look at these three details, some things. I preach a lot about Adam and Eve. That's the beginning. That's the seedbed. We can see so many things there and get to that point about Eve being called the mother of all living. I'm going to deal with her specifically. She's the first woman ever called a mother. Now, this is not the first time that the word mother is ever found in the Bible. First time the word mother is ever found in the Bible is in chapter number 2, where that God brings Eve to Adam, and Adam says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother." Adam didn't have a father or mother, and neither did Eve. There'd never been one yet. But Adam knew a principle that when a family is started, then that is a separate unit from the family they had been part of. Amen. The father and mother relinquish the authority for this new family that's being started. That's the idea that he's got in the text. But then we come to Eve. She is called the mother because she's going to be the first mother. Amen. So these 8 points, real quick. And I do have them alliterated, just one word in each sentence is alliterated. First of all, number one, I want you to notice Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 22. I'm going to read you the text, then I'll tell you my point. Genesis 2, 22. "And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made," or "made he a woman." That word "made," that word "made" is Strong's number 1129. It means to build. God took a rib and he built a woman. That's my first point. God built her. God built her. Amen. The woman is especially fitted to the man. He made her especially for the man. She is not a mistake of evolution. Amen. She was specifically designed. She was divinely designed. Amen. And to be honest with you, every man ought to be thankful unto God for the way he divinely designed women. Amen. I don't think a scientist could have done it better. I surely doubt Congress could have done it better. Amen. But radical feminism has tried to redesign women. They're trying to make them into a more masculine version. Bobbing their hair, tattooing their body, piercing their noses, by the way, is not a better design. God's original design was best. Amen. His original design was best. I'll say this, green-haired, breast implanted, and liposuction models are not better designs than God's original design either. Amen. I brought a prop. I don't do this a lot. Does anybody in here know what this is? All these children know what this is, right? This is a Barbie doll without the makeup. First thing in the morning. It's a Barbie doll. They redesigned it and tried to make it beautiful. Listen, God didn't make women look like this in the original. I think this probably looks more like what the serpent looked like. Amen. Although he didn't look scary to Eve. But anyway, let me get on. I just said, talk about God built her. God made her. He made her that way. No two women are made or built exactly the same way. But God made you special. Amen. God made you on purpose. And God made you for a purpose. Don't despair about the way God made you. You say, "Well, I'm too tall, or I'm too short, or I'm too fat, or I'm too skinny, or you know, I'm too..." Listen, God made you. Amen. That's not saying that there's not some things we can do. I understand there's some things we can do that are natural and good for us. But I'm not talking about these things that the world goes off. And it's saying you got to be made in the fashion as a Hollywood harlot. Amen. Don't despair about the way God made you. Embrace it and use it. Seek to be all you can and do all you can for the glory of God. Amen. God built her. Number two, God brought her. Same verse. He took that rib and he brought her to Adam. You see that in verse 22? He brought her unto the man. Here's the point. Adam didn't have to search for a spouse. God brought him one. Again, they've redesigned all this. They've got dating apps. Got online chats. Amen. They got the singles bars, nightclubs, and all kinds. But all those are dangerous ways. They're not better ways to find a spouse. I still believe this. I believe if a man's right with God and a woman's right with God, they're praying right, God will bring a spouse to them. Amen. All those new ways of doing it, with all the dating mechanisms and all the things, there's a lot of dangers, there's a lot of temptations, there's a lot of deceptions, and there's a lot of mistakes made in going down that route. Amen. I believe the best way to be to wait on God. Amen. By the way, Adam, when he was looking at all them animals, he wasn't looking for a wife. He didn't think he'd find a wife among the zebras. He'd find a wife among the orangutans. No, God had him naming those animals to see that Mr. Orangutan had a Mrs. Orangutan, and he didn't have a Mrs. Adam. Mr. Zebra had a Mrs. Zebra, and he didn't have a Mrs. Adam. That's what God wanted him to recognize. He wasn't looking for a spouse. Amen. I say that Adam was smarter than that. I really believe orangutans are smarter than that. Amen. So, God built her, God brought her. Number three, God betrothed her. Look at verse 24 here in Genesis 2, 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That betrothed, that means God brought them together. They were married. Betrothed means, the word troth has the idea of trust. He trusts her, she trusts him. Right? God made them to be together. God brought them together. Adam and Eve didn't shack up. Eve didn't shack up with Adam. She married him. Amen. Amen. She didn't have children before she married him. Amen. She married him and then had children. Amen. That's the Bible way. Amen. Now, by the way, if you've messed up, you've shacked up, or you've messed up and you've had children, whatever the case is, you can't change what's back there, but you don't have to go back and repeat those mistakes. And certainly try to smooth over and say, well, that wasn't a mistake. Acknowledge it as a mistake, because you don't want others following in that path. Amen. That's still the plan of God, that a woman marry the man before she has children by the man. Amen. God built her. God brought her. God betrothed her. Number four, God blessed her. Back in chapter number 1, we read verses 26 and 27. That last phrase, male and female created he them, and God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. By the way, God blessed marriage between a man and a woman. Not between man and a man, or a woman and a woman. Amen. He blessed her in that marriage, and he blessed her in that link with reproduction. He says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now let me say something. Chapter number 1 precedes chapter 2, but chapter 1 gives us the creation story, all 7 days in a nutshell. Chapter number 2 gives us more detail of the 6th day when God made the male and female. And so he told them in chapter number 1, he tells them to have children, to be fruitful. But they're not married till chapter 2. But the reason is because the first chapter is just an expose over it all. And then the second chapter is more detail of how all that came to pass. Not that it happened successfully that way, or in sequence that way, but that it happened, and this is how that it happened. So God blessed her. He linked procreation as a blessing. Reproduction and childbearing is not a curse. Amen. It's a blessing. By the way, is that way from the beginning? Jesus, talking about marriage, talking about how it was in the beginning. He said, I know what Moses said. And by the way, he wasn't just contradicting Moses, but he was saying God's plan from the beginning is shown very clearly. God didn't make a bunch of women for Adam. He made one. God didn't make a bunch of men for Eve. He made one. Amen. And God said for them to be fruitful and multiply. That is from the very beginning, and that is the blessing. All right? So God built her, God brought her, God betrothed her, and God blessed her. Number five, Satan benighted her. He benighted her. Look, we don't use that word a lot, but you look up the word benighted, of course you can figure it. It means darkened. It means to try to take the light away from. Chapter number 3 and verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And we could read those first 5 verses and see that where that Satan came and tempted her. Can I say this? Times have not changed. Satan is still trying to snuff out the light. And one of his best targets are women. He's after the man and the woman, and he still is, by the way. But he loves to attack womanhood. And he did then, and he still is. Anybody that might have any light from God, Satan is still attacking their mind. He's still trying to snuff out their light. He's still trying to ask them questions. He's still trying to get them to question the way God did it and get them to question the authority that they're under. Amen. He does that for men and women, but our focus again this morning is towards women and how Satan's attempt to benight the mind and to defeat the mind of the woman. Amen. Satan came to her with a bunch of questions. Ladies, are there not times you're tempted to question everything? It's not just a female thing, by the way. We all are at some time or another. But I'm telling you, we ought to recognize that temptation could very well come from the devil. Could very well come from the devil. He still does it just the way he did it in the Garden of Eden. He questions the authority. Amen. He questions the authority. He questioned God's authority. Look at how he starts off. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. Matter of fact, you ought to do a study on that word, Lord God. Chapter number 1, it's just God. God created, God created, God created, God said. Chapter 2, it starts up with the Lord God. Down about verse 3-4, somewhere down in there. The first 3 verses still just use the word God. But chapter 2, verse 4, it's the Lord God. And he's dealing with what God did on the earth. Now, he's dealt with all the creation, which dealt with not just the earth, but all of creation. And then he starts talking, and that's God of all the world, but the earth particularly belongs to who? Not just to God, it is the Lord's. He's the authority specifically of this world. That's why Satan wants to be called the God of this world. This is the world that God has chosen, and the devil wants what God has. God made man and woman. He was the Lord God. And you read it. Every verse down through there. Lord God. Lord God. Lord. Not just God. Lord God. But you get to verse 3. And the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God. You know what he's saying? He's not my Lord. You don't have to listen to him. I don't listen to him. How many kids have been influenced by some little 6, 7, 8-year-old idiot that thinks they're some kind of big macho something because they don't have to listen to their parents? Or some 16, 17, 18-year-old idiot that they don't have to listen to their parent and they're telling you, you don't have to knuckle down to their authority. And that's exactly what society's telling women today. You don't have to have an authority over you. And then when Eve starts talking about him, look in verse number 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, look at this, God hath said. Oh, she's already falling for it. Not Lord. Not Lord God. God has said. Sin will benight you. Here's what it'll do. It will erode the authority out of your life little at a time. Sometimes so quickly and so small that you don't even recognize that it's happening. Right? Amen. My mind's running 1,000 different ways and I could say 1,000 different things. I don't advise people to watch these soap operas. I don't know why they call them soap. They're not clean. They're filthy. But I do know why they call them soap, because they sell detergent. That's what they used to, that's what, you know, build them up. And if you do watch that stuff, you need to use some detergent after it's done. Amen. But don't watch these soap operas and don't read these harlequin romances and don't read these filthy things that's out there that makes you think that all life is just wonderful. No, there's troubles in life. That virtuous woman will get there tonight. You know what? She does all them verses, all that great stuff. She's working. That's what she's doing. She ain't sitting on the couch eating bonbons. Surfing the internet and watching television. That's not what she's doing. She's busy. And that's what life is, by the way. Amen. Well, let me get my place here. He questions God's authority. Same way he did in the Garden of Eden. He attempts to make the woman discontent with her status in society. Well, how come you're following orders? How come you ain't the CEO? Right? Why are you not the boss of all of this? He attempts to make her discontent with her status in society. He tells her she shouldn't have to follow orders or answer to anyone. Amen. He tells women they can be anything they want to be, and nobody should have any authority over them. It's your body. By the way, if there's a baby in your body, that's not your body. It's somebody else's body. This whole thing about abortion. They go in there and jerk that baby's arms off. That's not that woman's arm. Ain't her body. Amen. They crush that baby's skull. That's not that woman's skull. Amen. But they have nobody going to tell me what to do. Nobody going to be an authority over my life. Satan benighted her. That's number five. Number six, sin betrayed her. Happens every time, by the way. Look at verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. By the way, chapter 2 ended after God made them male and female, brought Eve to him. Verse 25 says they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. They were not ashamed in chapter 2. They were not ashamed when it's just the two of them. Adam wasn't going to shame her. He was thankful for the way God made her. She wasn't going to shame Adam. She was thankful for the way God had made Adam. But then when sin enters in, shame always enters in too. Shame enters in. Amen. Sin betrayed her. When Satan promised Eve that she would know more, that she would be like gods, her and Adam would be like gods, she discovered that that was a half-truth. She did know more, but she's not like a god now. She's more like a beast. Because now here's the situation. Before, all she knew is good. Now she knows good and evil. But she don't just know evil by having read about it. She don't just know evil by having heard about it. She don't just know evil by having seen it in her life. She knows evil by having experienced it. And when you experience something, your body don't forget what you experience. Amen. You go through these things and it's a more seared thing. You may forget what you've read. You may forget what you've heard. You may forget what you've seen. But it is hard to forget what you have experienced. Satan knew what he was doing, by the way. And he's doing that to women to this day. Amen. Amen. So something else had changed. Now, she now is ashamed. Matter of fact, I don't know if she's Well, yeah, she's ashamed of me. I started to say, I don't know if she's ashamed. I started to say, I don't know if she's ashamed until God spoke. Well, she was ashamed the minute her eyes were opened. Before God ever even showed up. Before they heard the voice of the Lord God in the cool of the day. It's immediately when they partook of that fruit. Ate that, whatever fruit was, right? Picking at it. Immediately when they partook of that fruit, their eyes was open and they were ashamed. Now here's something that hasn't changed. Now think about this. Something that hasn't changed from then to this day. And that is sin always promises a lot and never delivers on all it promises. Satan is the first, he is the inventor of false advertising. Yep. He's a liar from the beginning. That's what false advertising is, by the way. It's a lie. It's not changed since the creation that sin always promises more than it can ever produce. And it always produces things that were not imagined. There's repercussions. He talked about consequences this morning. You cast a rock or a pebble in the pool, and after that pebble's gone out of sight, there's repercussions. That's what happens with sin. There's repercussions that come. Amen. Now, here's another thing that sin will do. Sin will change you. Not only because you've done evil. It'll not only cause you to do evil. Sin will cause you to entice others to do evil. Eve not only was a learner of evil, she was a teacher. And that's how it goes, by the way. That's exactly how it goes. Amen. Somebody starts smoking and they teach somebody else to smoke. I mean, you wouldn't pick that up naturally. You throw a pack of cigarettes in at the zoo. Throw them in there to the chimps. They're smart. You can give them a lighter. And I guarantee you, they won't be smoking. They got better sense than that. But somebody starts it and they teach somebody else to do it. Somebody curses, teach somebody else to curse. Right? You just go on and on you go. That's what happens with sin. That's what happened with Eve. Sin betrayed her. Number 7, I said I got 8 points, it's going to get better. God befriended her. Amen. Satan benighted her, sin betrayed her, God befriended her. Chapter 3, verse 8. Immediately after they sewed those aprons, and he heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool. I'm sorry, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. Look at there. There's the Lord God. They heard the voice of the Lord God. This is the God who is Lord, whether you want to make him Lord or not. They heard the voice. And it wasn't just a God of some kind. It was the Lord God. And they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Now, you say, how do you see God befriended her in that statement? Because God could have left Adam and Eve to themselves. He could have turned them over to the devil. You want to follow the serpent? Follow him. He could have. By the way, there's people making those decisions every day. Melissa and I were talking about somebody this week. I said this. There's two people involved in this situation. And I said it looks like one of them is suffering under the consequences of the choices of the other one. And that other one has chosen, despite the consequences and despite the hurt, that they've chosen the way they're going to the world and they're going to the devil. They've chosen that route. And you know what? God could have let them go, but he didn't. He didn't. He didn't say you want to follow the serpent, keep following. No, he come walking in the cool of the day. Amen. He came to fellowship with them. He came to speak with them. He came to bring them back. Matter of fact, when they weren't where they were supposed to be, he called unto them. Thank God, God calls. And matter of fact, you ever been somewhere where you wasn't supposed to be and God through your conscience called to you? You ought to say, thank God, God still calls to me. When I'm somewhere I'm not supposed to be. Maybe thinking, I've got this thing covered. I got this thing hid. Mom and daddy ain't going to find out. Spouse ain't going to find it out. Church ain't going to find it out. Nobody's going to find out. God knows where you're at. And God calls. That's a befriending of God. Thank God. Thank God that He cares enough to call us. Amen. Amen. In spite of her failure, in spite of her sin of leading her husband down this wrong path, God befriended her. He rebuked Satan for them. By the way, God befriended her. I've got to put this point. God didn't befriend her by just never mentioning what she'd done. That's not a real friend, by the way. To be a real friend, you're going to have to deal with why you are where you're not supposed to be. Or why you're not where you are supposed to be. You got to deal with that. So in God's befriending of her, He did question her, how did you get here? Why are you hiding from me? How do you know you're naked? Who have you been talking to? Right? Who you been talking to on the internet? Who you been talking to on the telephone? Who you been talking to on the job? Who you been talking to at the school? Who you been talking to in these different places? Or maybe you hadn't been talking to them. They've been talking to you. You don't have to respond to them to get caught up in their evil. All you got to do is listen to them. And you can get caught up in that evil. And so He inquired about why they were. And He required that they confess it. Amen. By the way, that's the first step to getting forgiveness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But as long as you say there ain't nothing wrong with it, and I ain't confessing nothing, I ain't done nothing wrong. Here's the day to say, I'm good. When the Bible said there's none good. Matter of fact, there's people up to their neck in sin. And you say, you won't help? Nope, I'm good. No, you're not good. And you'll never get help until you recognize you need help. He required them to confront and confess their wrong. He rebuked Satan for them. He chastened them. And then He gave them the promise of a Redeemer. Amen. He promised that through the seed of the woman. He talks about that seed of the serpent, the seed of the woman, and through the seed of the woman, there'd be a Redeemer that would come. That's God befriending them. Amen. Amen. And then He gave them coverings for their nakedness. It wasn't these skimpy little aprons. It was a coat. He covered. Amen. Last of all, God bestowed her. Chapter 3, verse 15, this is really where I was intent on getting to in my whole theme of this. Chapter 15 and 6, or verse 15, 16. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman, He said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children and thy desire shall be to thy husband and he shall rule over thee. What did God bestow her with? Think about this. He said, in the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now that didn't mean in the 24-hour day, you'll die physically. Although we can argue they started dying. Right. But something in them died. Their connection with God died. God had to come and bring that connection back. They couldn't do it. God had to do it. But they didn't die. Here's what God said to her. God said, I'm going to greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. All right, Miss Stephanie is going to have a baby. All right? It's not because she's not on a diet why she's swelling. All right? It's not because she's eating like I'm eating. It's why she's swelling. All right? She's going to have a baby. Surprise, surprise. I hope that wasn't a secret. All right? All right, I'm kidding. But here's the point. If God said to her, you're going to have that baby, then that means she ain't going to die today. If God says, you're going to watch that baby grow up, you're going to see these blessings come from not just that child, from these children, that means you ain't dying today. You know what God's saying to her? God's bestowing life on her despite what she's done. Amen. Despite the fact that she's sinned, God's going to let her live. God's going to let her breathe. God's going to let her give birth. Amen. God's going to let her have children. And He says that through those children there's a Redeemer coming. Amen. And that Redeemer, amen, that Redeemer's going to crush the head of the serpent one of these days. Amen. And by the way, He has crushed him. And it'll be even more known shortly, I believe. Amen. Amen. So God forgave her. That's the simplest way of saying it. He forgave her. He gave her an opportunity to be a blessing. He gave her an opportunity to train up another generation. Now think about this. Think about this. She has messed up her own life. She messed up her husband's life. And God's going to give her a chance to get another innocent creature. And train that innocent creature. Now, I guarantee you, she's not hoping that innocent creature knows sin by experience like she did. She's hoping she can train that child that it'll run to the Savior rather than from the Savior. That's how she's wanting to train. God bestowed her the privilege of being a mother and training a little innocent child for the glory of God. Praise God. That's a good God, ain't it? That's a pretty good deal. Amen. I'd say that's one of the blessings of motherhood. Amen. Now, here's where I'm almost done. There are women today that have reached the top of the ladder in business. But to get there, they chose to be childless. They chose, in order to reach that plateau, they've chosen to be childless. And they, some of them already have, and some of them will learn to regret that decision in days to come. Right. There's women today, many women that have become famous in the modeling world, movie making world, the music world, but not in the marriage world, not in the motherhood world. They've got all these other things that they can relish in that one day is going to be mighty empty. Amen. When it comes your time to die, I used Miss Stephanie as the illustration. I don't know when she's going to die. I don't have any prophetic insight to that. But I know we're all going to die one day. Miss Stephanie, when it comes her time to die, she's not going to say, Josh, could you bring the Camry around? Let me see the Camry one more time before we die. Could you bring that new van by? Let me see the new van before we die. Could you show me a picture of the house? Could you show me the awards I've won? If she's, you know, you see what I'm saying? No, she's going to say, I want to see my family. I want to see my children. Matter of fact, I don't just want to see them around my bedside. I want to see them in heaven. Because you can't take houses and lands and cars to heaven. But by the good grace of God, God's given us an opportunity to train them. God's given us a good opportunity to lead them in the right way. And though we have made mistakes, they don't have to follow us in those mistakes. And by the way, you have a right to tell them that was a mistake, and don't you repeat it. You have a right to tell them that. Amen. Let's stand to our feet as they come with a song. I'll just say this. None of us are perfect. We've all made mistakes somewhere down the road. God offers forgiveness for those mistakes. God offers forgiveness for those sins. He's given us a Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. If we will confess our sins. By the way, you don't have to confess it to the Pope. You don't have to confess it to the priest. You don't have to confess it to the preacher. You got to talk to Him. He's the one you've wronged. If you go to Him, He can forgive you for your sins. Amen. He's given some of us the opportunity to have children. Some don't. And by the way, if you want children and can't have children, listen, pray, talk to God. He's the one who gives babies. And if He don't, be motherly towards somebody else. Right? I believe that's right. But He's given some of us the opportunity to have a godly mother. We ought to thank God for her, and we ought to thank her. He's given us a godly wife. We ought to thank God for her, and we ought to thank her. He's given us an opportunity to train up another generation